Well, hey there, folks. Big Mike here with you with a solo real deal review. I had the opportunity to catch a screening of the latest Spike Lee joint, Highest to Lowest, starring Denzel Washington. Now, when a Titan music mogul played by Denzel, widely known as having the best ears in the business, is targeted with a ransom plot, he is jammed up in a real life or death moral dilemma. Now, Denzel Washington and Spike Lee reunite for their fifth in their long working relationship for a reinterpretation of Akira Kurosawa's crime thriller High and Low, now played out on the mean streets of modern day New York City. The movie is now playing in theaters in limited release and will be available on Apple TV Plus on September 5th. Now, based on the trailer for this movie, I was expecting like a crackling crime thriller. But instead, Highest to Lowest is more like a snoozy Lifetime original movie or a bad soap opera. And watching it, I wasn't sure if the acting choices or the music or even the staging were deliberate, like it was an homage to the original, a movie I haven't seen, so I wasn't sure. It felt very stiff at times, almost like it was like a play or maybe like an adaptation of a stage play. But there were times that, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know if I was going to even make it through the screening. The first half of this movie is incredibly tedious, and the movie was really starting to test my patience. However, there's a resolution in the third act of the movie that almost makes it worth watching. Almost. And it certainly kicked up my... It helped me leave the theater in a better mood than had the third act not been so strong. I didn't like this movie overall, but there were a few bright spots to hang on to. So, for example, I'm a huge fan of Denzel Washington. He's one of my favorite actors, and I feel one of the best actors working today. He delivers a commanding, nuanced performance as this movie mogul. He's kind of like a Jay-Z, Quincy Jones type, kind of like a aging producer who his day has kind of passed, but he's trying to show that he's still got some juice left in the tank. He blends swagger, vulnerability, and kind of that smoldering late career intensity that you kind of know Denzel Washington for. There's always a scene where you know he's going to turn on the jets. And from that perspective, I wasn't disappointed. There are some standout scenes that are really electrifying. But for the most part, the performance, like everything else in this movie, is a little sleepy. It's a little more Sunday morning for my taste. Now, if you like Spike Lee's movies, this will give you a lot of his signature style. This is very much a Spike Lee joint. It's infused with vibrant New York energy, cultural pride, dynamic visuals, and there's even some, there's one action sequence in particular that gets downright kinetic, but there's not enough of it. It is authentic to the culture. Like, I'm not from New York. In fact, I almost wish Ari had seen this movie with me, because this is an expression of Bronx culture. Like, there's block parties, there's like Puerto Rico Day, the parades, and it really feels like it's a love letter to not just New York City, but also the Bronx specifically, enhanced by a decent soundtrack and a lot of cameos. Now, where the movie does kind of fall apart a little bit for me is in some of those performances, especially some of the supporting performances. Like, I like Jeffrey Wright fine, and he's kind of like Denzel's right-hand guy, but some of the choices, again, I kept brushing up about whether they were deliberate, but a lot of the choices felt corny or over-exaggerated, like a soap opera. And it kind of reminded me that, like, the original of this, High and Low, Akira Kurosawa, it was one of the first procedural crime thrillers. You know, it kind of, like, defined the genre. So I wasn't sure if, again, they were trying to be authentic to that old 1950s style, but like a lot of even like the dialogue scenes felt very stiff, and I was fighting against whether it was intentional or deliberate. The other supporting actors are not particularly good. The folks that play like Denzel's wife, his son, other folks in kind of that orbit, none of those performances are particularly good. None of the cops are very good. They even have the mayhem guy from the Allstate commercials, who I know as playing a cop. He was like Dennis Leary's brother in Rescue Me, if you remember that show on FX a million years ago. So like that guy used to be able to know how to act, but he's been doing Allstate commercials for way too long, and that's just not something that either through direction or performance that he isn't able to call upon anymore. The exception I would give is an exception for rapper A$AP Rocky, who is basically the reluctant villain of the piece. And he's in the movie precious little. Like, he's not an experienced, seasoned actor, but there are two scenes that he shares the screen with Denzel Washington. And, you know, for the almost 2 hours and 20 minutes to get 20 minutes of their confrontation is electrifying. Like, sparks are flying, and they essentially in this confrontation have what amounts to a rap battle, which Denzel is incredibly charismatic, and A$AP is, you know, he's young and he's hungry, and just it was a very bright spot in an otherwise uninteresting movie. It was an infusion of life in a movie that's otherwise pretty flat and lifeless. Unfortunately, it's kind of too little too late, in my opinion. You shouldn't have to wait over 2 hours for a bright spot like that. But if you can make it through the movie and endure that long, it is kind of worth it. So as I said, it did kind of lift my feet up a little bit as I left the theater. The cinematography is pretty good for the most part. It kind of shifts between clean digital and kind of like a grainy 16 millimeter style. It's you know, got nostalgic and emotional textures, especially in like the street level scenes. But there's a couple gimmicks in there that I didn't really care for. There's like this weird like flashback type of thing, and if the movie takes place in contemporary times in 2025, and it's like, nobody's using 16 millimeter for home movies, stop it. Again, the second half is way more thrilling than the first half of the movie. It really kind of finds its groove. There's a chase sequence that's pretty exciting. There's a subway chase that's pretty tense, and it kind of reminds me that director Spike Lee can do these things, that he can have like a crackling crime thriller type of thing. But this just kind of isn't it. Like I said, the first, I don't know, third 40 minutes or so, very uneven, stilted pacing, melodramatic dialogue. Like, it was kind of bordering on awkward at that point. You know, none of it felt authentic. It was very artificial. And as I said, it kind of tested my patience. Now, as I said, like, if you like Spike Lee, you know what he's what he brings to a movie. But that doesn't mean he isn't overindulgent and self-indulgent in times. There's a lot of stylistic flourishes. I feel like it's overdone at times. And the score in particular, this is probably like one of the music for this movie is probably like one of the more oppressive, overscored movies I've seen in a really long time. And it is so poorly placed and poorly positioned within this movie. Like, for example, there is a confrontation between Denzel Washington and A$AP Rocky on a subway train, and they like get into an actual fist fight. And in that, the music is like this weird, like, you know, horn forward jazz type of thing. It's like skibbity dabbity dabbity doo, and as these guys are beating the hell out of each other, it just it doesn't fit. I also thought that kind of like the moral dilemmas at the theme of the core of this movie is a little undercooked. Basically, what happens is Denzel Washington's son gets kidnapped and there's a ransom. So there's a moral dilemma of whether he gets to pay the ransom or not. But something else happens to develop to where maybe things aren't as they seem. And there's another ransom and another dilemma. It really kind of lacks exploration, for lack of a better term. It makes it really hard to kind of empathize with Denzel's character because he's kind of a jerk. He's kind of aloof. Now, I had mentioned the supporting cast, and I was very complimentary of A$AP Rocky in that supporting performance as kind of the villain character. But also, though, I think Spike Lee knows how to use A$AP like a savory spice. You know, it's a savory seasoning. It's effective, but then you realize the more he's on screen that he's not a seasoned actor, and it's not quite there yet. And I think one of the better choices is to minimize his screen time there. There's a lot of like out of nowhere celebrity cameos. Like somebody dug up the ghost of Rosie Perez to host this Puerto Rico Days parade. Very odd, very distracting. There's a whole sequence in the middle of the movie. Like, what are we doing? I mean, like, it's authentic, it's cool, it's well staged, but very gimmicky and distracting, and it kind of like pulls the focus away from the movie. This is hard for me to say as a older person myself, talking to, you know, more seasoned, mature folks. But this the Denzel Washington character does kind of come across as out of touch. And the movie has some commentary on social media and modern music and music trends. And it's a little get off my lawn for my taste. It's not as subtle in the critique and commentary as I would have liked. Overall, highest to lowest is, there is some vibrant energy to it towards the end. There are a couple strong performances. There is some cultural authenticity to it. But man, pacing, overindulgent, and it's kind of a mess, and it's awfully sleepy. I'd recommend you watch it maybe like on a Sunday morning or something like that. But it is a solid, if not flawless, addition to the canon between Spike Lee and Denzel Washington in their collaboration. I like Denzel. It is his, especially in his latter career, especially in movies like Gladiator 2, you know, it's a flavor of ham I enjoy, but some might find it to be a little too flavorful. So as I said, I didn't necessarily like the movie. I can't recommend highest to lowest. It's too much for you to wait 20 minutes to get 20 minutes of electricity between A$AP and Denzel Washington. Instead of highest to lowest, I would recommend you either check out Inside Man from 2006. That's the better Denzel Spike Lee collab. That is the crackling crime thriller that I was hoping that this would be. Or check out the original Akira Kurosawa classic High and Low that this is based on. I haven't seen the movie, and now based on this, I actually want to kind of go check it out. But Highest to Lowest is now playing in theaters in limited release and will be available on Apple TV Plus on September 5th. And listen to the Ari Hoffman Show 3 to 6 p.m. every weekday, and listen Mondays at 4:45 p.m. for Ari and Mai's review of the latest movies and TV shows, and your opportunity to win fantabulous prizes like prize packs and the opportunity to see advanced screenings like this. And maybe you'll see me and Ari at the movies.